Welcome to the Women and Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Esther, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great, Eric. I'm so excited to talk to our guest today.
Oh, me too. And you have given me the honor of introducing our guest.
Yes.
And that is Marcia Mantell. For nearly 30 years, Marcia has helped the country's foremost financial services firms and advisors increase their knowledge of complex retirement concepts and regulations, then turn the technical into tangible. Her latest book, which, Esther, I'm going to give you a sneak peek, she sent me because I know her. I know her. I'm so excited. Her latest book, What's the Deal with Social Security for Women, from 2019, goes way beyond the typical book of calculations. Instead, Marcia helps women and men understand what goes into their benefit, how and why it works, and how claiming is a critical financial decision. Esther, you bring on the best guest. Thank you so much for bringing her on. I'm going to give it to you. This is going to be fantastic.
Thank you so much, Eric. And Marcia, it's wonderful to have you here. These are such critical issues of Social Security and Medicare planning. We, as financial planners and advisors, we all talk about Social Security kind of all our lives. But when it gets down to it, it is a challenging calculation to determine the right step to take, isn't it?
It really is. And hi, Esther. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm so excited to be here.
You're welcome. And I'm also going to say that I'm really pleased that you have the time because you are considered a retirement industry go-to person for Social Security and Medicare because you've spent the past two decades pouring through the code and regulations that define the Social Security and Medicare Acts and spending countless hours analyzing the answers behind these estimates that we can get. You can log on. You'll be talking about that and the estimates for our Social Security and Medicare. So here we are in the middle of the pandemic. People have lost their jobs. What are you seeing? What are your concerns about how people are taking their Social Security?
Yeah, so you are so right. It is complicated. There's a lot to the calculation, but the good news is most people don't need to know too many, you know, things about that calculation, right? But there are a few really important things to know that we can cover. But what I'm seeing and what we're hearing in the industry at large that we're really quite concerned about is job loss is seeming to be higher and hitting the 55 plus population more so than anyone else other than the youngest. The 18 to 24 year olds are also being hit very hard. But what happens, you know, when you're 60, 61, 62, and all of a sudden you lose your job because of this pandemic, now what do you do? You know? Right. And I can tell you, Esther, I'm 59. And you know what? We're tired at 59. We're more tired at 60 and by 60 too. Like, are you kidding me? If you know, for whatever reason, no longer have a job, it is so tempting to look at Social Security and say, aha, that's my answer.
Finally, yes.
Because I'll tell you, I've done presentations around the country over the years and there is not a single American, I swear, who doesn't know 62 is the age. Like, that's the freedom. And then I have to be the bad news bearer and say, oh, for goodness sake, don't touch it. Do not take Social Security at 62. And they look at me like I have three heads. But it's as Eric mentioned at the start, your Social Security claiming decision is just about the most important decision, financial decision you're going to make for your retirement. It is that big. And people have no idea. Because they just think, you know what, I'm 62. I'll blow out my candles on my birthday cake and I'll claim Social Security.
I'll start getting that check.
Exactly. And so that's the big fear that we have in this pandemic, when older workers are laid off and they have not yet reached their full retirement age, which is between 66 and 67 for pretty much all of us at this point. If they grab their benefit early, they make a decision with really significant consequences for their financial future.
Well, what are some of those consequences? Because on one hand, someone could say, well, yes, I have this money. I need money to pay my bills.
Well, that is true. You do indeed have to pay your bills. Now, what's been interesting about this particular era with COVID-19 is the federal government did step in very early with some enhanced benefits that usually these things don't happen, right? If you lose your job and you're older, you're just on your own. So I hope that people who do lose their jobs, and there's more, you know, job loss every week, I hope you will not stand on your pride. File for unemployment. That is your first line of defense. You actually pay into unemployment all while you're working, the years you're working, because it's an insurance program. In the event you do lose your job, you just don't know you're paying in. You know, it's your employer's obligation, but it's essentially with taxes that the employer pays, you get less salary. So anyway, this provision is out there for you. Take advantage of that. Don't stand on ceremony here. Make sure
right,
you're
don't
getting
feel
this
like
insurance.
You don't want to feel like you're taking welfare.
That's right. It is not. It's an insurance benefit specifically for the time, if it should come, that you lose your job. So that's a big piece. There are also other provisions in some of the legislation that came out, the CARES Act in particular, the Coronavirus Act that came out of Congress in, I want to say, which one? Secure Act came out in December. I think it was March for the CARES Act. And it does allow some additional access into your retirement plan money. Now, let me say this is a dilemma for me because I, like you, think about and help people with retirement decisions every day. You don't want to tap your retirement benefits too early. However, you have to weigh the difference. If you just need to be tided over for a bit, that might be a better strategy than grabbing Social Security too early. Because I'll tell you, Esther, if you are only 62 and your full retirement age is about 67, 66 in a few months, you're going to get almost a 30% pay cut in your Social Security benefit forever, for as long as your retirement lasts. That's why this decision is so big, that you know you want to look for another job, you want to look for other resources, any other borrowing capabilities you have. Because if you lock in a 30% reduced income from Social Security, which is for half of older people, it is their number one source of income later in retirement. Yes. I mean, this is a big deal. And where are you going to make up that 30%? You know, like from where? It doesn't magically appear. There's a big mistake that people make out there, and they think that they can claim at 62, and it's like, oh, fine, I'll take the 30%, 25 to 30% cut in my Social Security because it will bump up when I reach my full retirement age.
Right.
Well, surprise, you know, there's no bumping up. So once you're in, you're in. And that's why it's so important to be very, very thoughtful and mindful. It should be a very last resort before you claim Social Security early.
What about those who are so afraid that Social Security is going to run out of money, so they want to take it early?
Yeah, there's definitely that philosophy. I'd say a couple of things on that. The first, and maybe most important, is it's incredibly important to get the facts about how Social Security works. And Social Security works on payroll taxes. That's a very specific thing, or FICA taxes. These are the taxes that you pay out of your salary. All of us pay. We pay into the Social Security Trust Fund every pay period. And we pay our 6.2% share. Our employer pays another 6.2%. And I think of it as a checking account. So this money goes into the federal government every pay period into their, quote, checking account. And it immediately then checks get written for the current retirees. So for my dad, for example, and my mom, they're very happy getting their Social Security payments, let me just add. Right. You know, they love that piece. They paid in, you know, all during their career, and now they get their benefit. So it's important for all of us to understand how the program works, and it is a pay in to pay out. And so long as we are paying in our payroll taxes, there will the checking account grows, you know, and there'll be money there to then pay out when all of us boomers and, you know, anyone who's 50 and older or 40 and older or 30 and older, all of us get to Social Security age. So it's how the program is working. And again, it's not a welfare program. So it's a contributory program that a benefit gets calculated on your behalf so long as you paid in your fair share during your working years.
And so what about the thought, like with demographics, that there are fewer and fewer workers supporting a larger and larger base of retirees?
Yeah, there are. We want more workers. You know, I joke around. I have two kids. They're lovely daughters, 29 and 24. And I joke around with people that, geez, if I had known, I should have had more children so that, you know, they could contribute to Social Security. Maybe I should have done that. But, you know, we stopped it too. It is better when there are more people paying into the system to pay the retirees. So we are tipping upside down for about 10 years. So the Gen X generation was much smaller than the boomer generation. And so there are fewer of them to pay in while us boomers are getting ready to retire and claim our benefits. But the millennials are a gigantic generation. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a timing problem, mm-hmm. but the immediate situation still is a problem. So we need Congress to take a look at the Social Security law. This is a law, so nothing can be done without Congress making the decisions to make improvements. So we need them to focus on this. And I know a number of the candidates have Social Security as part of their platform for making improvements to Social Security. So you will be paid. The problem is going to be that by 2034, if Congress doesn't shore up the system and just make it sturdier, then we will still get paid. We're just going to get paid about 25% less. Now, you can bet there's no senior out there who's going to sign up and say, oh, sure, I'm happy to take a 25% cut in my Social Security benefits when I'm 93 years old. You know, the gray group, they vote, and they're very, very in tune to Social Security.
Right. Well, we can't. I'm a gray person.
Me too.
I guess there's a lot more now since they've cut down the hair salons. Anyway, so the focus of your book is specifically on women. What's the deal with Social Security for women? So what caused you to focus on women, even though, as you say, it does apply to men as well?
Yeah, when you just look at the math of Social Security, and there are a couple of things that apply to everyone, we all need to first qualify for Social Security. So you have to work 10 years and earn 40 credits to pay in long enough so that you qualify. So that's the first step. The second piece that we need to know and love is that our Social Security benefits are based on each of us individually, our highest 35 years of earnings. So think about that for a second. You're a woman, you know, for the women listening, think about your career journey. You know, mm-hmm. we maybe went to college, maybe we didn't, military service or not. We go through our careers and they are not straight lines. You know, mm-hmm. it's nice if you started back in 1983, like I did, and every single year was just this nice ride up the mountain, right? Every year I got paid more and more and more. That's nice and ideal. Women don't have that kind of path all the time. In fact, the majority of us don't. We bounce in and out of our careers. I call them popcorn moms, if you're a mom, that you've had this popcorn career. Because a lot of moms, they work for a number of years early on. Then you step out of the workforce when you have your first or second child. Maybe wait for them to go to kindergarten, right? And then you pop back in to a career. But now you've lost some earning power. You don't pop back in at the same rate you were earning, you know, 5, 6, 10 years ago. you pop in at a lesser number very often. But then you work for a handful of years, and then your kids are teenagers. Oh, for heaven's sake, the teenage years, right? So you pop back out because somebody's got to supervise those kids. And then they leave. They are off in college or doing their thing, and you pop back in. But now you're 50 or you're 55. And, you know, you just don't get paid as much. So what ends up happening, we have these 35 years of our own work history that goes into our calculations. And unless we've had this straight line, you know, and straight up the hill, increased earnings every single year, we don't have that kind of situation when we look at our highest 35 years of earnings. And in fact, a lot of women have zeros after all is said and done, and they've made it through their careers, they've raised their families, they've help their moms and dads, they age. You look at your report and you go, oh my gosh, I only have 30 years with numbers. The others are zeros. Well, those zeros go into the calculation. So that's what's so different for women. We don't have a straight line career. We have zeros in our work records. We don't earn as much. The wage gap is alive and well. You know, and it's not getting any better right now. Women are still, white women get paid 80 cents on the dollar to a man, but women of color are only getting like 60 to 65 cents on the dollar. So we've got these gaps. We've got these serious, you know, situations in the economy that impact women much more so than men. Then on top of all that, Esther, we're going to live a long time.
Yes,
by and large,
in the longevity.
Women. Yes, exactly. So we have a lot that is at stake with our decision.
We do. And what is your recommendation for just becoming more aware of how to plan for this?
I think you're exactly spot on that it's becoming aware. So one of the things, my opinion here, is the world does not recognize how busy women really are. And our time is not always our own. And in fact, for
yours isn't all greater... mine's completely mine.
Right. You know. Right. And you know, for the greater part of our adult lives, our time is not our own. But we cannot use that as our excuse. And I look at it, I have found some just fun data as I create presentations and such, and unbelievable things like how much time do you spend on social media a day? Now, not you personally, Esther, but across women, we tend to spend 3 to 4 hours a day on social media. I find that stunning. But there are days, you know, I'm watching TV while playing on my phone. You know, it adds up. Well, if I can spend 3 to 4 hours on average a day on social media, I can carve out 1 or 2 of those hours once a week to look at my money and deal with my finances. It is so important. And it's not hard. It's a discipline. So it's, you know, with Social Security, the very first thing every woman should do is go to Social Security's website. We're on our phones anyway, right? So ssa.gov, and sign up for your My Social Security account. That's where you get your statement. And that's a powerful tool. You're going to see how many years of earnings you have. They show you every single year. So I can't remember if I was sharing this with you or not, Esther, but when I look at my statement, my first year that I have reportable earnings was 1979. Do you know how much I had that year?
How much?
$125. That was my summer I worked at McDonald's.
Yeah, I had the same thing. I had like 1978 was my first year, and I worked for a gentleman who just, you know, he set aside FICA for me. I did house cleaning and yard work and handyman type of things for him.
Wow.
And he set my Social Security aside.
Fantastic. Do you know how much it was? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember. But I love that website, actually. I love ssa.gov for all the information that's there.
They have done a tremendous job of making this very user accessible and user friendly. Yeah. And just getting your statement is, if you just do that, you are like, you know, way down the road to becoming aware and planning well. It's such an important piece of your retirement future and helping you make decisions. And good news, Social Security's already done the math for you. So you don't then have to figure out which are your highest 35 years or how to apply a wage index and what the benefit calculation is in the formula. Yeah, you don't need to know any of that because they show you right on page one, great big bold number on the top gives you a number. We estimate at your full retirement age, you're going to get $2,842. Like, whoa, really? And then if you just open or go to the next page, it shows you how much less you will get if you claim at 62 and how much more you would get if you wait until age 70.
So and let me ask you a couple. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead.
A couple things because one, we opened up today talking about all the job losses brought on by COVID and that these are hitting the 55 and older. So if somebody looked at their benefit estimate when they were 54 and it said at full retirement age, you will get $2,800, then they lose their job at 55 and they aren't able to be in the workforce anymore. How does that impact their anticipated calculation?
That is a great question. And that's where you have to know the hidden methodology underneath Social Security's tool. It will, if you never get a job again after 55, your number is overstated on your statement because Social Security does that calculation for you, assuming that you continue to work all the way until your full retirement age at the same salary level. Mm-hmm. So if you're making $100,000 or $200,000, whatever your number is, they're assuming you're going to continue on that exact same path, that trajectory, until 66 and some number of months or 67. Mm-hmm. And that's where they anchor the calculation. Now, if that happens to you and you do lose your job and you never again find one, you can go in and see the implications by using Social Security's tools. They have a quick calculator, they have a fancier calculator, and they have a big estimator that loads in all of your each year's earnings. And then you can go in and override the estimates from this year forward to put in zeros. So it's quick. This is not overly complicated to see what would happen. But yeah, it is overstated if you never find work.
It is such a good tool. Again, if that's one takeaway, go to ssa.gov. The other issue I get is the assumption on the flip side, rather than taking it early, waiting until age 70. Can you address that? I'll just let you talk about the benefit, the pros and cons of doing so.
Yeah, on paper, waiting until age 70 looks really good. The way the law is written, if you choose to wait to claim Social Security benefit after your full retirement age, you get awarded with 8% per year increase in your benefits. So if your full retirement age is 67, you get 24% higher payout each month. And that looks great. But remember where I started with our conversation, Esther, and I said, by 60, you're tired. And by 62, you're really tired. Just trying to get to full retirement age, your mid-60s, is going to be a slog. Going all the way to 70? Come on. Now, the numbers are only about 5% of men and women ever wait until 70. And there is a special sort of set of rules you can look at, or situation, not rules. The situation is if you have a job that you love and it's not too physically demanding and your employer keeps you on, if that's you and you're going to just plan to continue to work until you're 70, don't take Social Security. Go ahead, let it grow. Let it and get the bonus money. That's awesome. But that's only, 4 to 5% of people. For all the rest of us, because I am not waiting till 70. The calculation, it's an insurance calculation that's based on an optimal situation, and that's defined as your full retirement age. So if you can at least get to full retirement age, you've won the lottery here. Because the problem is when you look at it on paper, I'd really like that bigger number, but I'm going to retire early. I'm going to retire at 65, let's say. Well, how are you going to pay your expenses for those 5 years? Well, you end up chewing up your own assets. you know, it doesn't grow on trees. So you've got to pay your bills and it comes from somewhere. And so that's really the decision. I think you must work with your clients on this sort of pros and cons and trade-offs, right? If you're going to wait for Social Security, you're going to pull down from the money you've worked so hard to save and invest.
And then we do that crossover calculation.
The break-even calculation.
Deferring. Yeah, if you can speak to that.
The break-even, people, I would say, sort of misunderstand Social Security, and they look at it as an investment. And that's what this break-even calculation shows, that if this were an investment and you waited until, well, you claim at 62 or you claim at full retirement age or you claim at 70, at what point have you received the same cumulative amount of money? The calculation always works out till about age 80. You have to live till age 80 to break even. But the problem is, it's not really the way to look at Social Security. You need to look at it in terms of how much can it pay per month. And if you started at 62 and, you know, say, oh, I have to live all the way till 80, you still got a 25 to 30% permanent decrease in your monthly income that you have to make up somewhere else. And if you wait till 70, you get a whole lot larger paycheck, and that's great, so long as you didn't eat away at your assets. So again, this is for the person who's going to work all the way until 70, and that's terrific. So it's an interesting way to look at it. No one knows if they're going to live till 80. The way we plan for retirement in the retirement industry is we look at the odds you're going to outlive life expectancy. And life expectancy for us women that's the 50% chance. So 50% of us will live as long as age 93, 50% of us won't. Well, which side are you on?
Right.
You know, and if only we knew.
If only we knew that date, that would make our jobs much easier in that sense. We'd say, okay, your assets will be down to zero on June 5th, 2040. Perfect.
Yeah.
But we don't know that. And the other, you know, that's amazing to hear you say that the age is 93. When Social Security was first put in place, how long did people last past age 65?
About a year.
Yeah.
Really very, very short life expectancy back in the 1930s. Now, also keep in mind, too, we're just coming out of the Great Depression. So there was some undue angst and stress on people, as well as they couldn't eat. So life expectancy was really it was very low for men, even lower for Black men. It's like a 10-year gap. I did put that in the book. I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but it was stunning when I found that out through my research. So it was very hard to live beyond 70. And now our life expectancy is 93, but our longevity takes us all the way, if we're part of a married couple, all the way till 97 to 98. The odds, 25% chance one of us will live that long. So it's a long time in retirement. It really is 30 years that we plan for in retirement. It's no guarantee, but we plan for the odds that we're going to be the lucky 25%.
And the last thing we'll talk about, just because we're running out of time, there's so much with this, and it's so great to talk to you, Marcia. The
sure.
other part is for women are the issue of widow's benefits and if you're divorced.
Yes. So Social Security.
How do you trust both of those?
Yeah. In 1 minute or less. All right. So Social Security looks at each of us. And this is whether you're married to a man or a woman. So same-sex couples are in this equation as well. If you claim, when you claim Social Security, you will be married, divorced, widowed, or single, meaning none of the above. Social Security does make sure that you are protected in your retirement with a social safety net. This is a modest amount of income coming in. So if you are divorced, you can still claim on your ex-husband or ex-wife, so long as it gives you a higher benefit. If you are a widow, you step into the shoes of your deceased husband or wife, so long as it gives you a higher benefit. And that includes a deceased ex-spouse. Now, there are a bunch of rules around making sure you qualify for an ex's benefit or on an ex's work record. But the good news is lots of people were in long-term marriages. That's really the key. And they do qualify for higher benefits when their ex predeceases them.
And the marriage, in a nutshell, and the marriage, if one is divorced, would have to have lasted, is it 10 years to be able
to claim? That is exactly right. Yeah, it has to last 10 years or longer, and you cannot be remarried. So if you get married a second time, that's great, but then you no longer can claim on your ex-spouse.
And recently, a client, her husband passed away, and she contacted Social Security directly, and she was actually misinformed about the level of her benefit. And we got involved with another consultant also on Social Security, because you and I hadn't met yet. And
right.
They actually were able to put in, she was able to claim differently, put in a appeal of the award and get back over $10,000. How frequently would you expect something like that can happen, where people just go directly to SSA.gov or deal with a representative and assume that, of course, what they're being told is accurate?
Yeah, it happens all the time. And I want to be clear that this is not a ding on the Social Security agents. The disconnect comes with understanding SSA's role, which is to make sure your paperwork goes through as flawlessly as possible when it's time to claim, and to make sure your money starts up as soon as you want it to start up. The problem with widows and widowers is that when you talk to Social Security, their job is to tell you that as of today, like this minute, benefit will give you the higher amount. And that's all they can do. But it's not necessarily the right amount, and it's not the right strategy for you. And when you become a widow or widower, you're going to have to make choices. Should you claim your widow benefit first and wait to claim your own benefit until age 70? Well, yes, if that's the right strategy. Or do you go the other way? Do you claim your own benefit early in some cases and then wait and get your maximum survivor benefit at your full retirement age? So it's this switching that throws everybody off. So I'd say let's not put the burden on the Social Security agents. It's not their job to help you figure out your strategy. You need to talk to Esther. You need to talk to a qualified financial planner to help you with those situations. And plan before your spouse dies. Like, let's not ignore this topic. I'm married to this wonderful man, Dan. We met in college. We've been married 37 years. But every single day, I have to kill Dan off. Because when we plan for things, we really do look. What happens if Dan dies first? Yeah. And at this early age, what happens if Marcia dies first?
Right.
It matters, And let's, we don't want to think about it. So make it fun. And then he comes back to life because I make dinner. So it's all good.
Well, this has been great. I mean, it is so important with us. That's why within the firm of Gates Bass, we always look out to the best resources for our clients, because we don't know every single thing, but we know that it's important to go deep into these areas to get the best resources on board. So, Marcia, I would love to have you back to talk about the other part of retirement planning in terms of government benefits, which is Medicare. Would you be interested in sharing your knowledge in that area as well?
Oh, the other area that I love, Esther. Yes, thank you so much. I'd be happy to come back.
Great. So, and if somebody needed to reach out to you directly and or get a copy of your book, how should they do that?
Oh, thank you for asking. They can find me on my blog, which is boomerretirementbriefs.com. And the book, What's the Deal with Social Security for Women, is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Very good. And it's Boomer Retirement
Briefs.
Oh, briefs. Thank you.
Yes.
You see, short-term memory is already an issue.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Marcia. Eric, I'll turn it back to you. It's been wonderful having you, Marcia. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fantastic. This was a wonderful interview. Marcia, you are incredibly knowledgeable. Esther, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You bring on fantastic guests, and I'm so glad that Marcia's coming back.
Me too.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. Again, thank you, Esther. Thank you, Marcia. And of course, last thank you goes to you, the listening audience. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thank you so much for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.